to you by Sportscast on the local sportsjournal.com. It's a coaches series featuring Muskegon area football teams, kids, and coaches. The program is going to include six head coaches from Montague, Muskegon, Muskegon Catholic Central, Reese Puffer, Fruitport, and Mona Shores. Today, part two of the series. We are pleased as punch to have Coach Steve Zerwan from the Muskegon Catholic Crusaders join us. Coach, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having us on, John, and thanks for doing the series. Really, this is an awesome way to get some, get some preseason stuff from these coaches in a way that you might not get it in other ways.
Well, we've talked about it. The part of the motivation was you guys, this whole area doesn't get enough love, right? Football-wise and otherwise.
That's right. Per capita, I mean, this is Muskegon County is the king of football when it comes to Michigan. Right. So we know that, and that's why we're here, and that's why we love talking to you, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
And that's the voice of Jay Gorman over there, local sports journal.
That's great to be here.
This is a really informal thing. So we're just the synergies between the local sports journal and the podcast, eventually broadcast. We want to get this thing live at some point and have some video associated with it. We can stream games at some point. So
hey, at some point,
there isn't anything we can't do.
It's the beauty of the internet.
No question.
If you can imagine it, you can do it.
Brave new world.
That's right.
All you need is someone dumb enough to do it like me. So I guess. So, Coach, it's your sixth year.
Yep.
Let's talk about you a minute. Starting quarterback from 92 to 94. Check me if I'm wrong on any of this. Graduated from Catholic in 95. Mm-hmm. Moved on to play 4 years at Saginaw Valley State University under Jerry Kill.
Correct, yeah, who went on to be the head coach at
Minnesota.
Yeah, many stops. And then he eventually became a Big Ten coach and had to retire for pretty much strictly medical reasons because I know he had that thing turned around.
Right.
Really in the right direction. It was I played for him when he was a little bit younger, but – that was a great experience, being coached under him in college.
There you go. Graduated from Saginaw Valley. You were an assistant, and I didn't know this till last night. I may be wrong. Assistant at Ravenna, where you won a Division VI state title in 2003.
Yeah, I was assistant there in 2002 and 2003. I actually did my student teaching there for a guy you know pretty well, Jay, Brad Richards.
Oh, yeah, Brad and I go way back. Yeah. Brad played for my dad back in the day.
That's right. Yeah. Brad's a great friend of mine, and still talk. I talked to him today, actually. And, I kind of got immersed in that community a little bit out there in Ravenna. I think I coached every middle school sport that was possible there. I coached volleyball, but when I was just starting out, I was 22, 23, and I coached middle school track there. I coached seventh grade basketball. And then, I became really close with Dusty Fairfield, who was out there.
Yep. Yeah, tell us about Dusty. What was that like?
Man, Dusty is, just another good friend to this day. But he is he's an interesting dude. He is, one of the two or three best coaches I've ever had the honor of being around.
Saying something, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, playing for Coach Holmes, who's also, in that category, and, everybody wanted to say, there was this Ravenna-Muskegon Catholic rivalry maybe in the 90s and the, early 2000s, and, everybody wanted to know what the difference is between, Coach Holmes and Coach Fairfield, and I always said, with Dusty, he was going to do things his way.
Right.
And, some people say, you can't make a square peg fit in a round hole.
He did that.
Well, he did it. And he'd make that square peg just a little more round every day. And eventually, man, that peg would be perfectly round in the way that he wanted it. And he had a vision about how he wanted his football team to look. And every day was just putting it into practice. And my team is going to look this way, and this is how we're going to get there. And it was the 2 years I spent there, I spent with Randy Helson, who's a legend out there as an assistant coach, much in the same way that Mike Rebecca is at Catholic. And Dave Smith and I were young coaches out there who went on to coach at Ravenna for a number of years as a head coach and got to a semifinal game. And, that 2 years of my life. And then we went on to win a state title. Upset. We upset Nouvelle, who, the Detroit Papers had picked to win by about 17 points that day. And they had Blair White, who went to play at State. And, this is Dan Ryan, who was a good quarterback. But, we upset him. It was our day that day.
And, 2003, what stadium did you play that state?
That was the last year at the Silverdome.
That's what I thought.
Recollection, yeah.
That's what I thought.
And that was what a great experience. Got a lot of great memories from being out in Ravenna.
Right. So you worked your way up into the coaching ladder at MCC. 9-year assistant coach at Catholic, took over for really the dean of coaches, Mr. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
25 years he coached. He helped the Crusaders win more than 200 games and 5 state titles.
Wow.
I think he won 6.
Or 6. I'm sorry. He did.
You don't want to forget that.
No.
Yeah.
You want to get that number right. So 6 state titles.
I think one of the more remarkable things is, he was there 25 years. I believe he was either in 12 or 13 state semifinal games. I think he was in 12. So 12 of his 25 years, he advanced to the semifinals at least, not counting the state titles, and I think he had one runner-up there along the way. So, yeah, he was a – again, when you're talking about, you know, everybody in some ways is becoming a coach. You're a product of the people that you've had the chance to be around. And, you know, the short time I was with Coach Fairfield out there and then Coach Holmes, it was just a, you know, again, these are the two people in the area that you really want to learn small school football from, and,
right.
and which I just absorbed as much as I could have.
There
right.
you go.
Yeah. What is that like? I mean, you see such contrasting coaching styles. You have one who's, you know, Dusty is obviously a very strong leader, uh-huh. and he is going to, you know, do it his way. Coach Holmes is, you know, a little different, obviously. How do you mesh the two together as you became a coach
and a leader? I think number one is as coaching, you always want to have to be yourself. You can't be somebody else. I mean, you're going to look like a fraud in about 2.8 seconds if you try to imitate somebody else. So at the end of the day, you know, the old saying, you know, be yourself, everybody else is taken. And that's very true. So you have to really be yourself. But, you know, again, it's all about learning. I mean, you're learning, like, things I learned from Coach Holmes is preparation. I mean, I don't know anybody that was more prepared ever going into a game and just kind of teaching of this is the way that we scout things. This is the way that we write things on our chart. This is what this means. This is what you do on Saturday. This is what you do on Sunday. This is what you do on Monday. This is what you do on Tuesday to get ready for opponent. And it was so systematic. It never changed week to week. It didn't matter if it was a state semifinal game or state final or if we were playing, you know, some team that we were going to, you know, the game was obviously going to be over early in the first quarter.
Right.
It didn't matter. We approached every single game the same exact way, and you know, again, you learn consistency, and so much of leadership is just learning how people carry themselves. And you know, leadership isn't always, you know, giving the best locker room speech. Leadership isn't always you know, how many times can you get your name in the paper, or you know, those kind of things. Leadership is showing up day to day and doing your job, and
right.
You know, again, there's a lot to learn from watching somebody go about, you know, doing that day after day, which I am, you know, very grateful for being around Coach Holmes and learned so much just by watching.
So how much of that do you still adopt today? I mean, is that still a big part of how you coach and
yeah,
how you lead?
Our system is, again, things change over the years. Football changes. Football is a game that just kind of evolves. But in terms of, you know, there's some times that, you know, Coach Holmes would say, and I'd ask him, and I was always asking questions, and he probably got annoyed at times. But he was always great to explain things. And I said, why do we do something that way? Why do we call it this? And sometimes he didn't have an answer. He'd say, I don't know. That's the way Coach Cheverini did it. I
there
said,
you
okay.
go.
And, you know, again, there's sometimes I find myself, and some kids will ask, why do we do things this way? I thought, that's just the way we've always done it. You know, this way Coach Holmes did it. You know, why do we have meetings at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning? I guess we could have them anytime, but this is the way that Mike had them, and I think that's the way that Coach Cheverini had them. So we just hold them in that same manner. So, you know, again, it's I think all of us who are in the coaching profession are just, you know, again, we just, if you're fortunate to be around good coaches as a young person, I think it gives yourself a better chance for success.
So does he have a lifeline where you can call him at midnight and say, Coach, what do I do about this?
Well, I had a question the other day about our alignment and where our corners align playing cover three the other day, and when we exchanged about 8 or 9 texts back and forth to each other, and he gave me examples on why we line up a certain way, and I said, yep, okay, thanks. That's exactly what I was looking for, so yeah.
That's when, like, you turn around and look at what the field's named up on the press box.
Right. But at the same time, you know, he's somebody, I think back to my life, who, you know, again, I'm in, you know, middle school, and he's, you know, the varsity football coach, and then, you know, eventually you play for him, then eventually you get a chance to work under him as a young coach, and then you take over for him, and now you're, you know, again, you're an adult, and you like to think that somebody is just kind of become your friend over those years.
Well, and now you're 60-6 is what you are, Coach.
59-6.
Or 59-6, yeah. That's right. And you got 4 consecutive state championships, 13, 14, 15, and 16. You just got to stop yourself a minute and think about that. I mean, that feat, I know that, you know, 5 was always in your mind with Farmington Hills Harrison and that.
Right.
But, you know, step back too many times. And I would imagine, and it's true with your case and all you coaches, is you get so caught up in the moment and moving forward and doing this and doing that. Just take a pause and think about what that accomplishment is. So congrats, man. That's a big, big deal.
I mean, we're lucky to be sitting at the table.
Well, right. Okay. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
You know, again, people ask what ones meant the most or something. I don't know. I mean, 16 was really, really an important one to me. My mother had passed away that spring. And that was the first one, you know, that we'd won, and she wasn't with me. And that was
right.
You know, that was a real emotional one for me, I think, just because of that. But you know, the four state titles are interesting because when people say, you know, in that stretch, what's the biggest accomplishment? Well, we had from 13 to 14 or beginning to 15, yeah, it's 13 to 14, we had won 26 games in a row.
Right.
And we're talking playoffs and regular season. And that tied an area record with one of the OV teams back when Shillitoe coached. And that was a – we lost that game to Oak Ridge beginning the 15 season. And, you know, again, you don't you tied the record. And it's really hard to get kids up 26 consecutive games. And, you know, it doesn't matter how good people say our team was. And we had terrific talent. But, again, you're dealing with 16-, 17-year-old boys, and you're trying to get them up and, you know, for 26 straight games. That was important that we tied that streak. And then we end up winning 27 in a row. We started a new streak, which I guess would have started after the loss of Country Day in 15 and went down to I guess it would have been the Montague loss. But that got us to 27, and that right. broke the area streak. And I think they mentioned something in the paper about it. But, you know, if you really want my opinion, that was a – you know, winning 27 in a row and setting that area record, that was the biggest accomplishment of that kind of era that I've been a coach, because I think anybody's coached will tell you it's, you know, getting kids up consistently, not having an off night, coaching, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, just having kids eligible in school, making sure kids are doing the right thing. You know, dealing with injuries, finding good backups because those injuries happen. So, I've just always been extremely proud of that streak, and I'm sure it's going to get broken at some point. But, you know, it's a record that we hold now in the area, and it's a, that's kind of one that I do treasure.
Well, no, and the one that I think back to is the game in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Against Bishop. I actually watched the second half of that game recently, and I remember how proud I was, just as a guy who had a kid on the team, but just as of the team in general and you guys as coaches, because if there was, I don't know of a more difficult weather-wise location, mm-hmm. you know, very few, MCC travels very well, but, you know, not a lot of people drove to Columbus, man, but we hung in that game, and you guys coached the heck out of those boys, and I remember everybody just being exhausted halfway through the fourth quarter, and you pulled it out, and what a great win that was.
It was an outstanding win, and, you know, the team that John's talking to here is Bishop Hartley.
Yeah,
I think they've won four state titles in the last 10 years down in Ohio. That year that we beat them, they went on to the semifinals in Division IV in Ohio. So, I mean, this is you're talking about an excellent school.
Yep.
This is one of the premier Catholic schools down there in Ohio, at least for, like, kind of the mid-side schools. I think they compare very favorably to, like, a West Catholic maybe, or maybe even, like, an Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Maybe quite not on that level, but somewhere near there. And it was a 100-degree day.
It was brutal.
I can tell you that down
it was
there in the
brutal,
field.
Man.
And, you know, we're traveling with a team that, you know, again, the 14 team had really high expectations. We knew we had a good team coming back just because of all the starters we had coming back from the 13 team that won a state title. But our kids battled. And, you know, I remember, you know, talking to their coach prior to the game, and he you know, thanked us a lot for coming down and making the trip. And he, you know, again, I seriously looking back, and again, I think he was a little stunned. And I don't really know that, you know, he thought we were going to give him a game, much less, you know, beat him. But
well, no.
And that game kind of came down to we made a field goal. Griffin Seymour did. They missed their field goal.
Correct.
And then I think we ended up scoring a late touchdown to win by 10. But it really was a 3-point game. The difference was, you know, executing on special teams. So, you know, again, there's all those little things count. I mean, we're battling each other up front, and we're just killing each other in the trenches, and both teams are just trying to run the ball. Neither team had much of a passing game. And it came down to the fact that it wasn't the big guys up front. It was a 130-pound kicker that, you know, made the field goal from, like, 38 yards out.
Right.
And that was the difference there. So
and Jacob Holt had his arm wrapped, if you remember. Oh, yeah. He couldn't lift his arm up above his shoulder, so he had a bandage, basically playing one-handed.
On the outside of his jersey.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Basically playing one-handed.
We didn't really know how we were going to approach that. We knew he had a little bit of hurt shoulder that game. He had to get hurt a little more,
right.
And we just wrapped it. You couldn't even see he was number 77.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a bandage across his arm.
Holt was a special kid,
wasn't
he? Both him and his brother.
God.
What was it like having two brothers like that coming in back-to-back?
Well, I mean, the most disappointing thing is that Kathy and Mike didn't go on to have more kids. their father's a teacher at the high school. He's taught there for longer than I have now, maybe close to 20 years. And great family, and those kids worked extremely hard. They were blessed with some ability, But those kids were, I think they were sports from the time they woke up in the morning to the time they went to bed, and just kind of competing against each other. And, you know, the dad was very good with working with them, and they were strong kids. And
oh, yeah,
really,
yeah,
had them lifting from a young age and lifting the proper way. And those kids accomplished so much at their time at Catholic.
Yeah,
and they're going to be just Nick's going into – And Nick, Nick could go work for NASA. He's so smart. And I think he said he's going to be wants to be a high school teacher. I said, okay. That's great, I guess. But I mean, at the same time, the kid's going to be he's going to be great whatever field he ends up.
Well, he went to Hope to play baseball,
right? Yeah,
right.
So Sturzma went out and found him and said, "Hey, I heard you just played a little football in your day," and now he's doing very well.
Well, I talked to Pete, and I said, "Listen, your best football player might never be on campus, might never be in your football team."
Right.
And I meant that sincerely to him.
No,
I wasn't joking.
I know.
I said, what can he play? I said, I don't know, he play anything. You can play linebacker, play safety, play quarterback. He's a heck of a kid, and he just help you out. And they had
he went and found him?
Who's that?
Sturzma.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it was kind of mutual. And, you know, Nick, I said, you know, I think about this. Give it. And we talked about it, and they finally hooked up. And Pete ended up watching the – you know, his highlight tape, and it's just, I know he started last year at strong safety, and I think he's got a year left, or I think he potentially could have 2 years left just because of how some rules work. So, he's able to play two sports at a great college like Hope, and, man, that kid's had, he's had a quite an athletic career, and it's not over yet.
Right. Let's give some love to some sponsors. Finishing Touch, full-service salon offering hair and nail style and design, massage, tanning, and terrific selection of products. Conveniently located near Henry at 865 West Summit, Roosevelt Park. Call 231-755-3377. ASSE International, would you please consider hosting an international high school student? Provide them 3 squares a day, a bed, and a safe environment. Please call Julie McKay to learn more, 616-402-2892. Other sponsors include Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boy Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell and Reed Financial, and Deerspeed Automotive in Fremont. Last year, Coach, let's get into it a little bit. Overall, 8-2, 4-0, first in the Lakes 8. You averaged a little over 37 points a game, gave up a little more than 12 on defense. All in all, a very successful season. No week one game. You know, we didn't have a game week one, so – what are the related effects of that? Basically, not so much, I mean, playoff points certainly, but any ill effect of not having a week one?
No. It just didn't happen. We wanted to get one scheduled. We didn't. And, we made the most of it by practicing. We had low inter-squad scrimmage.
Right.
I don't think there really was. We played Frankfurt week one, who was a really good opponent, but I think they beat the heck out of a team week one. I think they played Manton and beat them pretty good.
Like 80-0 or something.
And I went up to the game because we had the week off, but it was, I don't know. I mean, they beat the heck out of a team, and what experience do they get versus us not playing? I don't know.
Right.
So, I don't think it's something you want to do. You want to give kids every opportunity they can to play a high school football game just because your time is so limited on playing this game at the high school level. But, you know, a game didn't work out for us, so we just practiced more and,
What was that like?
I mean,
you had the spotlight on you. You know, everyone is looking at you. You know, you're defending state champs. Week one, you don't have a game. Everyone's looking at you. And Frankfurt has traditionally been a tough team for you. Everyone's looking at you. How does that change the game for you guys?
I don't know if it does. I mean, it was just going up there. It was our opener. It wasn't their opener. So I don't know. Maybe there's never enough hours in a day to practice for me because I really like practicing. I think practice is so important. You know, the kids always kind of joke. I'm always like, all right, two more left, and they all know it means like probably there's 20 more plays left. If I say two more and. We'll hold you to this, Coach. No, you're not.
Especially gassers when they're doing gassers.
Well, gassers, but just running offensive plays because maybe we just carry too many of them. But I, getting more practice time, and every game is a, like I said, you don't want to deprive a kid of playing high school football,
right.
But there's such risk reward to every single game that you play. We feel like in practice we can do our best to control injuries. You can't control injuries in a live football game. So maybe we just said, listen, it's one less opportunity that we're going to have kids getting hurt, especially heading into this big Frankfurt game. So, again, you make the most of it, and, you still go on to play a nice 8-game schedule.
Right. So you've kind of blasted through. You got through Frankfurt 31-6, Orchard View 43-7, Ludington 55-7. We made the road trip down to Lake Michigan Catholic, won that one 55-13, Heights 32-0. And then you got your six, so you get in the playoffs, and then you've got Manistee coming to town. Then we had to go to, you went to Hesperia, and then Montague, the Wildcats, a really good Montague team. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, that we talked to Coach Collins, and he was very enamored with the fact that that game was almost like a state finals game. That was so much energy around that game.
The atmosphere was something
great.
Else.
Yep. Yeah, it was great atmosphere that day, and it was, you know, we did a 1-year contract, and that was just the 1 year, and it was up, but. Yeah, it was great to get that game played. Had a big, big gate. A lot of fans came out, and it was, you know, two really good teams. And, you know, again, there's no question, they were better than us that day. They were a little bigger up front, and they were able to control the line of scrimmage. And I thought that was the difference in the game. And, you know, they had an excellent team last year. We put up the best fight we could have, I thought, that day. And, you know, anybody, when you get behind by a few scores, you start reaching, and then things can kind of tip kind of easily, and that's what happened that day.
Yep.
I think it ended up being 35-11 or something along those lines.
34-10.
Yep. You know, again, but they were an excellent team, and they came on the road and beat us. And again,
but the Catholic got off to a nice start, right?
Well, we had a strip fumble. Fumble that we got the ball on the 2-yard line and scored. So exactly. we had a great start to the game.
Right.
I kind of looked around like, all right, this is all right. But
right.
I've been around long enough where I knew that wasn't going to be the game.
No, right. But credit to them, they sort of settled down, mm-hmm. got back to their game. They made a mistake, and they came back out and just played their game.
They sure did.
Then you got into the playoffs, Decatur 42-20.
Yeah.
Took care of them at home and then had to make the road trip down to Minden.
Right, yeah. The Decatur game was a tough game. I think it was a 21-20 game.
I think that surprised a lot of people.
Well, they recovered an onside kick and got a kind of a short field and a score. Then they had one really good drive to finish the half. And then, that might have – but, again, you're you know, playing in the playoffs, you're playing against good teams. I don't care if it's a first round or state final game. You know, those are good, capable teams. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. You know, this isn't high school basketball where every single team makes the playoffs.
And, exactly.
You know, you do get blowouts, but at the same time, you're playing against a team that at least won six games in most cases.
Yep.
And you know, they gave us a heck of a game at home.
And then made the road trip down to Minden.
Yep.
And hadn't played them the previous year, but had some success the previous couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather just was awful. There was a little bit of delay in that game, and some weather and some rain, and
a lot of rain.
It just didn't really allow for Crusaders to kind of do what they do with the setup you had with the quarterback and the wheels that you had in the backfield.
No, it was for one, I thought we played a great first half. We're up by 9 points going into halftime.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we'd missed two extra points. And we also had a touchdown called back that turned into a field goal. So it conceivably could have been a 14-point game at half if things had just gone a little bit differently. And just as the game went on, the conditions got muddier and muddier. And, you know, what people don't understand about not only a mud game, you lose your feet, sure, but if you're playing that game on natural grass, the ball gets caked in mud. And if you care to do anything that involves throwing the ball a little bit or anything that involves any kind of a read option game, you know, you can sub as many balls as you want into. But I promise you, the second play in a muddy game that was that muddy, the ball's just caked in mud. So you're just doing your best for even ball security sometimes. And they had the perfect offense for that day. You know, just lining up in a T formation and kind of pounding us off tackle. And as the game went on and the field conditions worsened, we didn't have any answers for what they did. So, you know, for one thing, I want to say, I look back and I don't on a dry field or something like this, I don't see a lot of scenarios where we lose that game. But this is football in Michigan, and you've got to be prepared for those kind of things. And they definitely had the perfect game plan, the perfect offense for a field like that. And, you know, no question, given the what that day presented, they were the better team, and they were built more for the conditions that day.
Certainly helped them being at home, too, probably, on their own.
Maybe
home
a little, but, again, just the conditions the weather were the conditions.
Yeah, the conditions are conditions.
You're up by 9.5, and there's not a lot of scenarios running through your head where you think you're going to lose the game, and you come out, and everything got worse in terms of the conditions. So,
all right.
Again, that is Michigan weather in November and Michigan football in November.
Let's take a break and come back. This is the Coaches Series coming to you on localsportsjournal.com. Back after this.
You don't need to pack your bags to see the world. Let it come to you through ASSE International. Hi, I'm Julie McKay. Will you please consider hosting an exchange student? Make a lifelong friend from abroad. Your investment is only to furnish meals and a room. Open your heart to the world and all the kids and cultures it has to offer. ASSE students are available from over 50 countries. Enrich your family. Host an exchange student and make a difference, helping one grateful child at a time. For more information, please give me a call. Again, I'm Julie McKay in Grand Haven at 616-402-2892. That's 616-402-2892, or visit us on the web, ASSE.com.
Hey everybody, this is the Summer Coaches Series, brought to you by SportsCast on localsportsjournal.com. John McKay, Jason Coleman.
Hey, good to see you.
With Coach Steve Zerwan. Let's talk about this year, Coach. Your season looks like a nice schedule, right? You got Algonac, 10-2, Class B school. Talk about them a little bit. They were a good team last year.
Yeah, they've been a very good team ever since their new coach came on board about 4 years ago. They've been a consistent playoff team in Division Five. I think they're in the same boat we were. They were, I think they play in a conference that's maybe not the greatest, and they've had a lot of success in that conference ever since the new coach came, and they were looking for a game. And we were looking for a game, and by the time you get to, somewhere towards the middle of May, the field's kind of whittled down. Who will play and who won't play? And we had a few talks, and we just had to work out the logistics of who's going where and when. So,
right,
3.5 hours away. They're about an hour north of St. Clair Shores. So I guess they're kind of thumb area. But
I think that's as far as you can go without being in Canada.
Well, I think that Canada's the next. There's a river and there's Canada.
Right.
Yeah, so. We'll get on a bus and go play there. They told us that they will. They're going to come here next year.
Good.
So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
They're the Algonac River Rats, which our team finds a little amusing, but I don't. It's just a nickname. And
So we're
first time the schools have obviously played in school history, and I know they. We talked earlier about teams that run Veer. They're kind of a Veer team as well, and we've traded a few tapes, and they. Appear to be a very well-coached team, and that's going to be a stout challenge for us week one.
And then you got Notre Dame Prep coming to Holmes Field.
Yeah,
week
that's
two.
That's a really good team, a good Division IV team, and I know they've got some returning guys, and that's that's another team that's going to be very well coached and have a number of athletes. So that's they're going to be a tough opponent.
So you got Orchard View, mm-hmm. Luddington, and then Cassopolis.
Yeah, again, you got the conference teams. But Cassopolis is interesting. They made the semis in Division VII last year, so they're an excellent team. They took Mendon down to the wire. They actually probably should have beat Mendon. Watching the film last year, and Mendon had a late.
I did watch
on them.
That.
Yeah,
film. Yeah,
just to kind of come back on them.
Yeah.
I know they have a pretty dynamic quarterback that returns. That's we're going there this year. They're coming back here next year.
Oh, you got a 2-year. That's good.
A 2-year. Nice. Algonac's a 2-year, and Pontiac's a 2-year. Newaygo's a 2-year.
Nice.
So again, all these are. Newaygo might be a week one. Don't quote me on that. But Benton Harbor's right. A week two. So, or 2-year. So again, all right. these. I think we have pretty much a full schedule next year. I'm unsure about the Newaygo status, but
that's great.
That was good getting those 2-year deals.
And you got the Heights,
mm-hmm.
At home, then you got to go to Manistee,
yep.
And then Benton Harbor.
Yeah.
Coach Ruzalek, what's that like?
Gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's going to be a different club.
It was interesting because, our assistant, Mike Rebecki, that was his coach at Western Michigan.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he came from Bow, right?
He was with Bow, and then he
went to Western. And
then after Western, I think he became the head coach at Navy.
Right.
And then he, made some other stops. So he had a long, accomplished career.
He did. Hmm.
And, Mike was, kind of excited to, get to play against, old coach. And, Benton Harbor's had quite a resurgence under him the last couple years. And,
Morning America.
Right. They flew him to Disney and all that stuff. And they came from, they were, 0-9, 1-8. And, Coach Uzalek got them to, a playoff spot where I think they won a playoff game. And, really had the kids excited about it. So, somebody else is taking over, and you just don't know what's going to happen in those kind of situations. So,
right.
You hope it works out best for the kids that are there. But at the same time, we'll just have to scout them up like we do every team. And, you know, kind of see what kind of team they have.
And then Nuevo, week 9, 7-3 team last year, Class B, made it to the playoffs, another playoff team. So not an easy slate by any stretch.
No, I think it's a pretty stout.
I think it's a great schedule.
For us, and it'd definitely be a challenge getting our wins, getting the playoffs. And, you know, you always got the conference teams, and we've had, you know, quite a bit of success within the conference. But, you know, again, everything's a new year, and things can change like that. So, look at the schedule there. You got it up here on the screen. It's every week, no question.
Right. So no question either that your Crusaders are a heavyweight, right? You guys have the history. You've got the championships. You've got the lineage and all the success. But you had to call in some reinforcements this year. You're doing the co-op with Western Michigan Christian.
Right.
What are the numbers? How are the kids? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we you know, again, just our enrollment at Catholic, the school's stable and stuff, but we're just settling in. We're fairly small.
They got you at 126 kids.
Yeah, that's
next
I think
year.
Where we're at, and I think the cutoff for Division 8 is going to be somewhere around 250 this year. So, you know, you're getting the playoffs. You're going to be playing against a school twice your size, anyways.
Right. Wow.
And that didn't, you know, to me, didn't make a lot of success. And you know, it's just kind of the timing happened when West Michigan Christian had a. They had a co-op with North Muskegon for a number
right.
of years.
A lot of time.
Right. I think that went 15, 16 years maybe, and they for whatever reason, they got out of it. And it just something we explored, and they explored it back if we were a good fit for them and if they were a good fit for us. And, you know, again, it seems like something to try. You know, we're approaching it as if it's a long-term thing. But again, we're trying to look out for the best interests of our school, obviously.
Right.
But at the same time, you're trying to help out another school, another school that is you know, Christ-centered like ours, which is you know, again, was a key factor in the merger. And you know, again, we've picked up some players from there that we know are going to help us right away. And you know, again, it's just it's something to see how it shakes out. And you know, again, you approach it and hope it's a long-term thing.
Right.
So how long is that commitment with WMC?
Well, I think you sign 2-year deals, but there's out clauses after 1 year if you want to, with a penalty or something. A penalty is you can't co-op with the team for a couple more. Again, it works like that. So again, they basically work on 2-year deals with, but you can get out at any time you want to. So. Yeah. So again, if interest over there gets drummed up, and you know, part of that's my job to go over there, and your job at church to get kids for us, Jason.
Hey, I might be talking to a couple of them.
That'd be great.
I got a nephew. Nephew's 6'5".
That'd be wonderful.
He might help you.
So you know, anybody, and again, so you know, just let them know that there's an avenue for them to be part of something over here at Muskegon Catholic. So we were excited about the merger when it happened. We're excited about it now. We've had you know, again, some of those kids over working with us this summer, and hopefully it's going to be a good long-term thing for us.
Yeah, and it's got to help too with them already being in a co-op with North Muskegon, so you have kids that already have some seasoning under their belts.
Right.
So that helps bring it to the table to make it a little better transition, I'm sure.
Yeah, and one thing that was nice about it too is the co-op also is with middle school, so you know, again, those kids previously that played at North Muskegon, the co-op that happened with the middle school there, you know, again, we get them and their middle school feeder schools as well going in, and they get the option to play at Catholic.
Right.
So
right.
That's
you got some good guys over there in your middle school program. I know Brian Fita was a good guy there at your younger level there.
Right.
He's going to be great for those kids coming in, and you got, you know, state championship leaders over there.
Yeah, and even like you mentioned, we also have a third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade program over at Muskegon Catholic. So, you know, just getting them, you know, again, even getting those younger kids, you know, that, you know, again, you're in West Michigan Christian. Oh, I play over at Shores, or I play for, you know, I play for the Muskegon, whatever. But,
right.
I mean, now you have maybe more of a cohesive way in which to, you know, get the younger kids there too.
Yeah.
And, so, again, hopefully it just helps grow the program because, again, our enrollment being what it is, it's no secret. You know, again, you're looking for a way to have Crusader football continue.
Yeah. Well, you know, the WMC dynamic is, you know, you have kids feeding in there from – you have some kids from Fremont, some kids from the northern side of, like, Shelby and New Era. You're getting them from some Grand Haven, Spring Lake area. So, you're getting a pretty diverse crop of kids coming in.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at the number of kids that come down from New Era.
Right.
That's an area.
Really?
West Michigan kids have been pulling. You know, weren't the Brunsmans? Weren't they kind of from that area up there making
that
drive?
My dad's 2008 state championship team. He had two kids from New Era that were both 6'8".
That helped.
A town of 500.
That helps.
That's, Yeah, there's Wallers live up there. There's another kid, Jaden Johnson, who's up there, who's going to help us probably immediately. So, it kind of surprised me a little bit, but again, they're any way that they pull kids and you
who
know
pops out can, to you from the WMC side.
Well, Solomon Waller, they've got brother Joe Waller.
Yeah,
you know, these are kids that are two really good athletes.
Right, right.
Solomon's a good, you know, again, I've you know, being the track coach, competed against him in track. Mm-hmm. You know, just see how good of an athlete he is doing that.
What size is he?
With or without his hair, he let's say without counting the flat top, he's probably somewhere around, you know, 5'8", and you know, but really put together. You
he
know, 180 pounds.
He
is chiseled. He's muscular, and he again. Nicest kid.
I His mean, brother just, walked on at Michigan State, John Waller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he right. had some good athlete genes in there.
Then he's got a brother, Joe,
uh-huh.
who's a ninth grader.
Wow.
And he's also going to be up with us. And
great.
He's already about a six-foot kid, can run a lot. So, again, we're maybe looking to play him in a little D-end. And, again, he's a young kid, and he's going to have to grow into things. But Solomon definitely is somebody who could, we think, help us immediately.
Yeah.
So talk about the kids that are here. I mean, you've got how's it shaping up? Linemen, linebackers. I mean, you've got some kids coming back, obviously.
Yeah, we only have four seniors, and that's just a we just kind of had one of these classes that come through in small schools sometimes.
Right.
You just don't have a lot of seniors. So those seniors are Cameron Willer, who's going to be an offensive guard, defensive
he's
end
strong.
For us.
He is strong, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's chomping at the bit. I know him pretty well. As you know, he's a good friend of our family. He's looking forward to the season.
Yeah, I grew up with his dad, Nick.
Yeah. Well, Nick was a couple years older than me. He went to West Michigan Christian.
Right.
So, yeah, Cameron is a beast.
He is. He's going to, again, he really wants it. And he's one of these kids that's kind of waited on the sideline the last few years. Just,
he has.
Again, he just played in front of a lot of good people. And, you know, he's, you know, played behind a lot of people, I should say. And he's kind of grown into his body. So he's definitely going to be the mix and one of our leaders, Christian Gordon. Another younger, you know, again, he's somebody that's, you know, again, he kind of spot started for us the last couple of years. But, again, he's somebody we're going to look to play some linebacker, some tight end for us. Two more seniors, Owen Lindstrom, who was our starting center
yep.
last year.
Yep.
Probably going to move him to a tackle, we think. Yeah, maybe he stays at center. Just depends how some things shake out with some younger kids. And he'll play some, you know, somewhere on the defensive line for us as well. And Dawson Stegman, who's, you know, again, he started at corner for us.
Quality running back.
Yeah, and a quality running back. And, you know, again, he's somebody that's going to play, you know, in the slot. He'll play in the backfield. He'll play some corner. He'll play some safety. So we'll move him around a lot. But you only got four seniors, but I promise those four seniors will see the field, and they're going to be really important to our team this year.
Well, think about the advantage of that, though. I mean, having a young team in the next couple of years, being able to bring these kids up in the enrollment from the co-op.
Yeah.
You get these other kids, I mean, the kids that maybe are on the fence that don't want to play, they see the success, all that good energy coming back to the school. I think you're in a sweet spot.
Well, just given the youth of this team, and you know, we told the kids last night after a conditioning workout that, you know, you couldn't be in a better spot if you're a young kid. You know, you're just not, you know, on the roster with no chance to play. If you're a young kid who
wants to play football, right?
Yeah, there might be a spot for you. So, and like you alluded to, the best thing, and again, even though we only have, I think we have four seniors, and I think we're going to have six juniors. So that's only 10 kids that are varsity level, you know, if you look at it that way. But we're, you know, we're no stranger to playing younger kids and coaching
them. Been doing it a long time.
Been doing it a long time. And, you know, our philosophy has always been the best kids play. So, you know, the best things about coaching younger kids is they don't stay young forever.
Right,
you know, their bodies will start to mature. That more and more kids will go through puberty, and that's a big thing, I think. And you know, again, the off season's been great with you know, a lot of eighth graders, a lot of ninth graders really buying into you know, what we do and the things that we've done for years there in the off season and getting stronger. And you know, again, their bodies are just going to fill out, and they're going to be that much better as they get older. But it's, you know, again, it's not going to happen overnight.
Nope.
And, you know, you might take a few lumps along the way, but that's part of growing up. That's part of life. And, you know, I just think the younger kids in our program have a very bright future ahead.
Oh, no question. To wear the gold helmet, man. There's nothing like it, I can tell
man.
You. Talk about your coaches. And who's coming back? I know, is Frank still with it?
Yeah, everybody's coming back. You know, Coach Rebecca, who's been there now, this will be year 41 for him at Muskegon Catholic.
Now, wait, let's think about that a minute.
Yeah.
41 years. Oh, my Lord.
That's my exact age. So, yeah.
What, 1977?
Yeah, and I think he didn't coach 1 year. You guys ran a really nice feature on him last year in the,
that was
in the,
a lot
the
of
football
fun.
Preview.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, what a classy guy.
Yeah, he is.
What a motivator. Mm-hmm. And he just delivers the fundamentals over there. And
but he would never sit and do something like this. It's not his thing, and yeah. He doesn't want his picture in the paper or anything.
We did get him on the pregame show once.
Once.
Outside
maybe,
the stadium. Yeah, he maybe, walked out. He talked with us for maybe 4.5 minutes or something. Because
caught him on the way to the car, huh?
Well, just because Jimmy was there.
Jimmy and Pat were there. Exactly. Exactly right.
So what a humble guy, though.
He is a humble guy. And, again, he's really, there's another person who you know, even though he's an assistant coach of mine, you know, you talk about who you learn coaching from. I mean, this is somebody, and he really cuts through he really cuts through the fluff. I mean, it's just what's important.
I think everybody that's played for him would tell you the same thing.
He cuts through the fluff, what's important, and this is your job to do, and you need to do it. And, some kids were talking about, you know, this team went on this team retreat or this team did this overnight thing. Can we do this? And, you know, for team unity. And he said, you know what brings the team together? You win 7-8 games in a row. That'll bring you together. again, you talk about cutting through the fluff and cutting
that'll do it. But it's
really
true.
Does.
It's true.
It's very true. And again, I think the best thing, he's just great with kids. Kids love being around him, and they love being coached by him, and he does a great job with it year after year, and he still has the energy to do it. And everybody, you know, last year, and, you know, Mike just year by year, right?
Yeah,
so we're definitely fortunate to have him as long as he wants to stick around and impart his wisdom on the kids.
And his boy is out there with you again this year.
Yeah, Jason was out there, and I just been texting him today. He's interviewing for a job tomorrow somewhere. He's looking to get in the teaching profession, and
good.
You know, again, he was great, just kind of a volunteer coach with us last year, and I know that kind of meant a lot to Mike and his Jason's mom Nancy, and all, you know, that was, you know, kind of cool to have Jay out there. And
absolutely,
but again, he's just going to be he's going to be further along, I think, and just year after year just learning about the coaching profession, and I think he's going to make a career of it. So, you know, he's coach Frank Lewandowski, who has been with us for a couple of years. He's coming back to coach with us. Colin Convertini, who played there, he's got, you know, 4 kids coming through the system. He's going to have 2 in the team this year, 1 who's in middle school. He's out there with us, and Joe Perry, who hasn't—he took a couple years off.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name in a while.
Joe's back.
No, he's coming back, so he's excited to be back. So
that's great. Where's his son at these days, Joe Perry Jr.?
Joe
just got
hired at Saginaw Valley.
Did he?
He's up at Catholic right now. We got some linemen working with him right now, but they're on a little break at Saginaw. But, yeah, I think he got hired in at Saginaw.
Wow.
Last I heard.
Uh-huh.
He's bounced around a little bit. He was in Virginia at Virginia
Tech.
Down
at Pitt, too, wasn't he?
He's at Pitt.
Yeah.
So I think he's at Saginaw now. And,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So Joe will be back, and it'll be great. You know, the one coach we lost was Nate Smith, who was, really instrumental in helping the last couple years, and such a bright guy. And he ended up getting the Fruitport head coaching job, and he's going to do a fantastic job there.
Yep.
You know, we've had a chance to work with them some this summer, and I just think Fruitport should be excited about the coach that they got and the job that he's going to do there.
He's coming up next on the series. We're
going
to talk with him next week.
And he's going to, he really has a good grasp of things, and Fruitport should be excited that they hired him.
I think they are. I've already heard a lot of people are. The kids are coming back together, and they're excited.
That's great. Wonderful.
What about 7-on-7s, Coach? I mean,
yeah.
You guys do a lot of those. Can you run us through that real quick?
We have one this evening. It's just, again, for people maybe listening not familiar with it, it is your skill people, so your quarterback, your center. All your center does is snap the ball. But you've got your quarterback, your running back, and most of the time 4 wide receivers. And they're out there running their patterns, and the quarterback catches, and usually out of shotgun, and, you know, the defense covers with, 4 linebackers, 3 defensive backs, or 3 linebackers, 4 defensive backs, however you configure guys. And you get a chance to practice your offensive stuff. Kids just have helmets on.
And you have one tonight.
Yeah, we have one tonight up at Reese Puffer.
Is it just you and Puffer?
Puffer, I think Spring Lake's there tonight.
Okay. So, I might come up after we talk.
And again, it's something that you get a chance to, you're practicing stuff, but, you know, football's not played in shorts and helmets.
No.
Anybody will tell you that. And anybody was at the Menden game last year, it's not.
No.
It's not played in 80-degree weather with shorts and helmets, but it gives you a chance to, in my mind, it gives you a chance to not only compete against another school,
sure,
but it gives you a chance to install some stuff. I mean, you only get so much time with kids, so again, you're just that much further ahead when you start the season of what you've already installed, you know, in terms of most of it's with the passing game. And defensively, it's the same thing. You're getting a chance to install different coverages. You're getting a chance to install different linemen. So again, it really does, it's just beneficial for the offense and the defense, and everybody's doing it. You just kind of schedule these things on your own. You know, again, with local coaches that you know, sometimes there's tournaments you can get into. It's just there's lots of different ways to do it. And, you know, state gives you so many times that you can meet and have these competitions with your kids in the summer.
But that was my question. So what is the just high level?
What are those rules?
It's pretty complicated, isn't it? I mean, they make it more difficult than it seems to be.
I think the main rule that you have to follow is that there's 14 – or I think there's seven times that you can kind of work with another team in kind of a throwing setting.
Okay.
So, again, you've got seven dates to use in terms of that. And then I think you have, like, 14 other dates that you can meet with your team working and something like that. We don't come close to exhausting the max because again, kids need their summer and
absolutely.
But you know, again, we see the kids just about every day cause they're up there lifting weights in the morning.
Sure.
And that's the big time that we catch them because again, I believe kids need to, if they have a job, they need to be able to get to their job. They need to be able to, you know, again, they're kids, they need to spend time with friends and spend time with family and go on vacations and all those things. But you know, we have an expectation that the kids, you know, work out lifting weights in the morning and then, you know, you give the kids a schedule far enough ahead where hopefully they can plan things somewhat.
And they love the night. They love the night running. I know that.
Well, the night running started, and I'm not sure there's any school left that does two full weeks of conditioning. But you know, it goes back to why do we do it? I don't know. We've always done it.
Right.
And it's always been successful for us.
Right.
So we go two full weeks of conditioning in the evening, and it is just focused on getting in shape and. Not much else, and there's an element of bringing, you know, the team together, going through that. There's an element of actually getting the kids in shape, and then there's an element of just, you know, pushing through. You're tired as heck by, you know, 70 minutes, so you still got 20 more to go.
And we go all the way back to the Bishop Hartley game.
Yeah.
Because that, if ever there was a game, and I'm not going backwards, I know, but if ever there was a game where conditioning was a factor, clearly Crusaders were in better shape than the opponent at the end of that game.
We can't worry a lot what other schools do.
We
try to do the best that we can, and we try to do what we've kind of always done at Catholic that's been successful.
Right. So we appreciate your time. We'll let you get out of here. One more question as it relates to the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
How does the Division 6, so related on enrollment, where are you going to land? Division 6 in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'm fully expecting Crusaders are going to roll. You're going to get your 6, but you will play up in Division 6 in the playoffs. Explain how that works.
Well, again, you just combine the two enrollments. So it's our enrollment, West Michigan Christian's enrollment, and I think that puts us somewhere 402, 404, somewhere in there, if I'm remembering correctly.
402.
And that's going to put us kind of right in the middle of 6.
Okay.
So, you know, again, you could potentially see some area teams. Again, these things are pretty fluid. I think Montague was 6 last year, but they've moved up, I think, a good 50 kids, and they could be, you know, they're either going to be a big 6 or a little 5 next year. You know, maybe Ravenna, Kent City, schools like that. But again, it's you know, again, you get this question a lot about, you know, you're playing Division 6, about Division 8. I don't know. I mean, I know in 2014 we probably could have beat any team Division 4 on down.
I totally agree.
Right, and again, we're not ashamed to say that because we kind of know how, you know, what a good team we had that year.
Right.
As you go on and play in the playoffs, you're always going to play good teams. And I don't care if you're playing Division 8, Division 7, Division 6. As you keep playing, you're going to play a good team. So, you know, again, we probably going to run into some stiffer competition. But, you know, again, I'm awfully proud of some of the teams that we've beaten Division 8 along the way. And, you know, again, I know in Division 6 is going to be good competition as well. And, you know, these things change. I mean, I look at in 2016, I think it was Maple City Glen Lake played in the state finals. Who'd lost to Frankfort?
Right.
Who'd we put a running clock on? And that was a Division 6 finalist. So, again, do these things change? Of course they change. So, you know, I don't know. So, again, we're just going to, you know, no matter what division we're in and who we play, we get 11, they get 11, and the old saying, and we'll see how it goes.
When do official practices begin?
Week from this Monday.
Okay.
So I think it's August 6th.
All right.
And we still go twice a day. We'll go 9 to 11, 3 to 5. Again, I don't know if anybody in the area does true two-a-days anymore.
Right.
A lot of times people do one longer one, like 3 to 9, and they take a little break in the middle or something like that.
Right.
But we've always done it this way, and it works for us. We think it gets the kids there in the morning. It gets them off their feet in the middle of the day, and then we come back out and do a full practice again in the afternoon. So we'll stick to that plan.
Anything new and different from the MHSAA that you've seen as far as rules changes or concussion protocol or anything
blocks,
like that?
Anything like that?
No, nothing. Again, they send out a rules meeting you have to take every single year.
Right.
I don't think they've sent that out yet even.
But I haven't seen any announcements.
No, every year the MSSA, and it's not only them, but the American Federation, who they're kind of through, who rules that they follow, which is pretty uniform then, which kind of constitutes what the high school rules are across the nation, every year they kind of have a point of emphasis. And while it might not be a new rule, it'll be something that they're trying to emphasize this year in terms of right. what we're going to enforce more. So, you know, now we'll know more about that when we get the official kind of rules meeting thing going.
Great. Jason, anything else before we get out of here? If anybody's got has any interest in supporting this program, please reach out to Jason. He can be reached at 231-638-7307 or at his email sports@localsportsjournal.com.
Yeah, we're just excited to be doing this with Local Sports Journal. You know, we're getting ready. Some reporters are going to be calling our coaches. Coach Zerwan's going to be talking to a reporter. And we're going to be doing our annual high school football preview section. It's going to be a 40-page newspaper. All of the area teams in it. We're going to have 22 teams in it this year. We're going to have feature stories. We're going to have all the schedules, all the conference alignments.
When's the party?
The party's going to be August 17 at Oak Ridge Golf Course, Bella Maria's. Teddy Spaghetti out there, you know, phenomenal cook, phenomenal host. You know, Bella Maria's is a great location, and, you know, worked out real well last year. You know, we're just excited. It's going to be a fourth year of doing that kickoff party, and it's just it's something to bring the community together. You know, we talked about this area here in Muskegon County being the king of football here in Michigan, you know, pound per pound, per capita. You know, no one can stand with us, and that's pretty exciting, and that, you know, that needs to be talked about. You know, when you look back and you look at the history of Muskegon football, obviously the Big Reds being the winningest program in the state's history, you look at years like 2008, getting four state champions, almost five out of the eight divisions. Mm-hmm. You know, this is it's an incredible football county, incredible area here, and, you know, you look at the players that have come out here that have gone on to the NFL. You know, it's just such a rich cultural community, and football is it's our pulse. And,
well, it's why we're doing what we're doing, because we don't think people in this area get enough love.
You know, you think about it on a Friday night, you know, you add all those fans together and all the area stadiums. You know, on a Friday night, if you combine them all in one, I bet you would be close to as many that there are at the Big House on a Saturday afternoon. it's pretty incredible when you look at how much our fans love football. The thing that I really appreciated about it the most is that these are high school kids, and they're kids. And it says a lot about this area, how much we care about our youth. And, you know, we're willing to support them. And I think that's a really important thing just for culture. And for our kids to know that, you know, adults care about what they're doing.
Well, and I, having been around Catholic for as many years as I have, man, there's no team that I know of, having been at the games, seen the visitor stands, that travels as well as the Crusader fans.
We travel. That's one of the things when we try to schedule away games. You know, they're worried, how much gay? We travel. No, I mean, don't worry. We're not going to bring seven people. We're going to bring, we'll bring carloads, and they support us no matter where we go. And, you know, I can't thank you guys enough for doing stuff like this with Local Sports Journal. Just a good compliment to, you know, maybe what the Chronicle used to be and what MLive is now. It gives just another way for, you know, these stories of these athletes to be heard and to give them some coverage and some recognition. Maybe a little bit more how it used to be in the old days around here when, you know, the staffs of the Chronicle was a little bigger. And just, you know, again, reaching out and doing these new mediums like these podcasts and all the different things that can go with it in the future. I mean, it's just great, and it's another way to – you know, again, to promote what we do here in Muskegon County.
There you go. Right. So I want to thank Finishing Touch, full-service salon offering hair, nail style, and design, massage, tanning, and terrific selection of products. Conveniently located Henry Street at 865 West Summit, Roosevelt Park. Please give them a call at 231-755-3377. I got to say, my wife and daughter were in this place. It's phenomenal. It's been remodeled. It's really, really great, folks. Check it out, please. Thanks to ASSE International. Give Julie a call to find out more about hosting an international high school student, 616-402-2892. And then our other sponsors, Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boys Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell & Reed Financial, and Derspeed Automotive in Fremont. Coach, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate your time. Anything you want to plug anything before we let you go?
No, nothing to plug, but again, just another thank you to you guys, and can't wait to see you more as the season gets going.
All right, buddy. Okay. We'll bug you for some more time maybe later on down the road.
Awesome.
That's going to do it for us. Summer Coaches Series. I'm John McKay with Jay Gorman.
Hey,
and,
thanks, guys.
And with the visiting with the Muskegon Catholic Central Crusaders, Coach Steve Zerwan. Join us next time. We got Nate Smith coming up from the Fruitport Trojans. We got Kyle Jewett from the Puffer Rockets. We got the Big Reds, and we got the Sailors all coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be back.